Where would you rather be than right here, right now? It's the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's CarlsonCast.com. There's your host. It's Vinny Paulino. He's a wonderful snowman, happy in the holiday season, etc.
You're only saying that because I'm round.
That's a good point. Melt. That's true. There's your Thanksgiving turkey. It's Brian Ball, everybody.
No.
There's your special holiday elf. It's me, Ross Johnson. And of course, everyone's favorite holiday berry. It's Cam Teller, everybody.
Just a little berry.
Special guest this episode, Jimmy Schubert.
Someone didn't have something prepared to say about Cam.
Never in my life did I think I would not want to eat Thanksgiving turkey. But then when you compare Brian Ball to it, I'm out.
Out!
Out! Well, ideally, we both still have the same leathery skin.
Hmm. Why is that ideal?
the nice crispy skin.
Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I hope we didn't ruin your Thanksgiving already. We have a great show. It's been an amazing week here at Comedy at the Carlson. Where do I start? We had Dalton Castle in the Rickles room the other day.
Very hilarious, man.
Hysterical. Ring of Honor, former heavyweight champion, did an awesome show.
A showman.
A hell of a showman. Really a showman. Sunday night, Val Kilmer. Val freaking Kilmer was here.
He's Batman, Iceman, all the mans.
So many men that he was.
He's all the mans.
And Doc Holliday. He was Doc Holliday. What was his character in Real Genius? He was Jim freaking Morrison.
He was the genius?
Yeah.
Does that make him Doorman if he was Jim Morrison?
Hey-o!
Oh, I played off of your terrible joke, yeah, you good. See? Because I'm a pro. All right? They may not be funny, but at least I try.
You only find things like this. Here at the Carlson Cast.
And where, to quote Ross Johnson, quoting Marv Levy, quoting Howard Cosell, where would you rather be than right here, right now? So today's show, or actually, hold on. Val Kilmer, and then Wednesday night, Dolph freaking Ziggler was here.
Yep.
Was that a hell of a cool show? Or
that was a hell of a cool show. And world. Hell of a cool guy.
He refused to answer my Macho Man Stephanie questions.
Yeah.
He totally didn't
Those
answer
were them. Yours?
But you, no.
No.
Oh. I'm just curious.
Fourth wall.
No, they weren't my questions. But he refused to answer them anyway. So
the only bad part about him being here was I think we both learned it is impossible to look good while standing next to Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, we immediately
you cannot.
All look like Ross.
Yeah.
It's
we
horrible.
All look terrible. Kind of wet.
It's pretty bad. But I'm just saying that it's been like the coolest week ever. And now we have a really awesome comic, a guy who's been performing for as long as I can remember at one of the highest levels there is. The guy is just an incredible dynamo on the stage. And he puts all of his energy out there and just goes for it. And he's really relevant right now in a lot of ways. So Jimmy Schubert's going to be here today.
And I
folks.
Was not here the first time he came around. So
yeah, it was a good
now
show.
I'll be here. Yeah. Aw.
Aw.
I see what you did there. Zing. I see what you did there.
You know what really made me mad? I listened back to the Dolph Ziggler episode, and he was talking about giving out zingers, and I was like, how do we not call him Dolph Zinger? How do we not do that?
Oh. No, yeah.
Where you do how we work.
I was mad that we never worst. Talked about Motley Crue.
That's
I know, like we both love Motley Crue.
We're just ruining this show.
And we forgot to bring it up.
So let's take a second and talk about our sponsors real quick before we go too far into this episode. Sapori Cafe and Catering. Let me tell you what's happening here tonight. Mm-mm. The hometown chef throwdown in the Rickles room. Not the good folks at Nosh and Sapori are having a crazy competition.
Two shall enter, one shall leave.
It's going to be crazy good. There's like standing room only for this thing so far. I'm looking forward to that tonight. But some Chef Joe's food before then, I would just go to the Powers Building atrium for lunch today. That would be my advice to you. You could get them to, you know, even cater your own special event. Barbecues, weddings, bar mitzvahs, birthday parties.
Yeah.
Sad days when you're all alone and you just want to have a buffet to yourself.
Yeah.
Quinceañeras. Every day.
Quinceañeras.
And Sapori Rochester on Instagram,
New
on
Car
Facebook.
Day.
New Car Day. Remember, Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
Kill yourself. Three Heads Brewing.
Mm-mm.
Mm, available on tap here at the Carlson every freaking day.
Every goddamn day.
Every day. You night. Get yourself a Three Heads in this building. And let me tell you something. You'll be glad if you did. If you like beer, try a kind. You'll really dig it. Threeheadsbrewing.com. And last but not least, oh my gosh, you know, a lot of people say the holidays are for friends and family. I say they're for whiskey.
Yeah,
we all agree there. Iron Smoke Whiskey, in fact, handcrafted in upstate New York, Applewood Smoked Whiskey, or check this out, Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Thanksgiving in a bottle.
Thanksgiving in a bottle. Here's my plan. I'm going to get a
piece
of...
Comes with a racist uncle.
I'm going to get a piece of pumpkin pie, right? Mm-hmm. And a bottle of the bottle of Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
So you get both your pies.
So I get both of my pies and drunk.
And cut calories.
Pies.
Drink responsibly, ladies and gentlemen.
You are, that is drinking responsibly because it's less calories.
Especially when you eat it with the pie. The pie helps soak up the booze.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned that. IronSmokeWhiskey.com. Get yourself some today. You will not regret it. Brian, are you ready to see some Jimmy Schubert?
I am ready.
But before we do, I want to remind you all that the text line is open, 585-484-0265. Feel free to start texting in your questions now. Also, if you are watching this show on YouTube, we appreciate you. If you haven't watched us on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel. We have done a pitiful job of promoting our YouTube channel, and I am not afraid to say it. We have episodes that have thousands and thousands and thousands, but we have not. We don't talk about YouTube enough. We really don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, we're honest people.
Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube, and if you are just listening to the show, please remember to rate and review us. So, that being said, let's talk about the shows that are coming up to the Carlson in the next few months, and we'll be right back with Jimmy Schubert. So again, where I tell you about our upcoming shows here at Comedy at the Carlson. November 15th through the 17th, we have Jimmy Schubert returning. Dr. Dirty John Valby, Thanksgiving Eve's Bash, November 21st. That's right, next Wednesday. Also next Wednesday, Joel Lindley will be live in the Rickles Room. Robert Kelly will be here November 23rd and 24th. Carlos Mencia, November 29th through December 1st. Bobby Slayton will be here December 6th through the 9th. Josh Wolf will be here December 13th through the 15th. Rob Little, December 20th and 22nd. April Macy, December 28th and 29th. New Year's Eve with Ross Bennett, December 31st, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. shows. Chris Franjola, January 10th through the 12th. Preacher Lawson, January 17th through the 19th. Vicky Barbalak, January 24th through the 26th. Bob Saget, February 21st through the 23rd. Samuel J. Comro, April 18th through the 20th. That's right. Those are some big shows right here at Comedy at the Carlson. If you want to get your tickets, visit carlsoncomedy.com. Call 585-4-COMEDY. We hope to see you at a show soon. Show and we're not always perfect, and you know what, now that we have an extra second here, I forgot to mention something really important. New comic night, baby. New comic night.
It's very
Saturday. I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a very, very big deal. We do not do an open mic here at Comedy at the Carlson. This is the closest thing that we're doing, so if you want to get on stage and you want to try out comedy, this is your shot. Next Saturday night, right here in the Rickles Room, we want you to show up. We're going to ask you to put your name on a piece of paper. We're going to put you into a drawing. There are going to be 24 spots available for 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes to make everybody laugh and do the best job you can. And we're watching, and we want to see it. Jimmy Schubert's here!
Hey! Jimmy Schubert's here!
Hey! Hey! What's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Sit back, relax. We'll fix that mic for you.
There we go. Hey. Just bring it over here like this.
Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix this camera just a little bit too, Brian. You see how close that is on Mr. Schubert?
Yeah, yeah. Could you move
it back? Could you show Mr. Schubert so we can...
Yeah.
See in here? There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, let's bring it back. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
A little lower. We want to frame. Oh, beautiful.
There we go.
Look at those blue eyes.
Perfect.
Nice.
What's going on, gentlemen? Nice to see you. Thanks for making it.
Yeah, at least we could do. It was snowing out there. It's, you know, I'm not used to this weather. I live in sunny California. I'm you know, used to wildfires.
We're not used to this either. It's the first time this year. First time this year.
I have a question. How long after, like, you're a Philly guy. How long after you moved from Philly to L.A. was snow, like, completely out of your system?
It's never been, because I travel constantly, so I'm always back in the climate. So it's, I have a winter jacket, so, you find yourself in different climates and all over the world. So, you know.
Right on. Well, I'm glad to have you back here. It's very...
it's good to be back.
Nice to see you. And I've heard that you've had quite the year.
I've had some... I've been having a good year. Keeping busy, working,
right on,
you know.
Right on. No, I also noticed when you came in here, your knee's looking pretty good, man.
Yeah, last year I got my knees done, so which I'm walking better. I'm not in pain anymore, which is awesome. So I got them done. You know, I have bad knees running my family. So right. Plus, I was in a motorcycle accident many years ago, so one leg was a little shorter than the other. But when I did the knees, they strengthened out the length discrepancy, so I'm not even hobbling anymore.
You got an adjustment.
I got an adjustment. Well, because they had length. I was actually like bow-legged because they straightened them out to fix that, and I'm walking great now, and I don't have any pain. So I'm glad I did it. It was one of the best things I did.
I'm really happy for you, man.
Yeah.
That's got to be like a new lease on life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it is. It affects my whole attitude. You know, when you're dealing with pain on a daily basis, you know, it affects your persona. So it's great. I'm not in pain anymore, and I'm happy I did it. I go out walking now. You never used to walk because it would be a great source of pain, but now I'm walking. In fact, the guy was in last night. He said, I need to get my knees done, but you kind of inspired me. I said, get them done. He'll be happy you did.
I've never known anyone who's... I've known four or five guys who had it done, and none of them were disappointed by it.
No.
Like, I should have done it.
Well, you know, it's a quality of life issue, you know? Yeah. I mean, you're heading towards... You'll be walking with a cane or something if you don't do it. And I got them done young. I'm relatively, 50 years old. I know guys have had their hips done when they're 40 just because they played sports. If you played sports when you're younger, it affects... And so I had arthritis in both knees, and my knees were bowing out, and now they're fixed, so it's great.
Yeah, I got to get my hip done at some point.
But, yeah, is that right? Yeah, it's just
we're just
it's natural.
About old guy stuff, Vinny.
I'm going to let you. I'm heading my way there. I mean, I wasn't an athlete, but when you carry this much weight around.
I was told to get my hip done, and I just haven't.
Yeah, I had to bite the bullet. Like, last year was a tough year because it's, you can't fly, and so you have to, like, take a month, and so you can't fly for a month because they're afraid of blood clots and stuff. So I had a couple gigs I had to do. I had to drive to, but I planned it. I planned it the whole year. I figured we could do stuff on the West Coast and stuff so you don't have to fly. But, yeah, I'm glad I did it. And I had a great surgeon, orthopedic surgery specialist in Burbank. Great surgeon, the Cubian brothers. One does hips and shoulders, the other does knees. Did a great job.
Mother parents did a good job.
Who does the toes? I was trying to make it shoulders, knees, and toes.
Who does the who? My back's not hurting anymore. What about your front? Your front's killing me. No, so we're, hey, my back's killing me. Yeah, well, your front's killing me. So who's going to do your front?
I feel like the parents have to be pretty happy when they have, like, one doctor who's like, I'll take care of the lower half, you get the top half.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the whole wing of the hospital was all their patients, But as soon as they do the knees, you got to walk. You literally, like, after the surgery, you're walking that afternoon with a walker and a belt.
Yeah.
And you have to do the physical therapy. If you're not going to do the physical therapy, you don't even get it done. But, and I did two rounds with the medication. I came off the pain pills, and I used the medicinal marijuana just to manage body pain. So it was great.
So that worked for you?
Yeah, it worked for me.
That's cool. So it's not like a BS thing, because, like, a lot of people get her. That's a big thing in New York State right now about medical marijuana.
I tell you, I got to be. I'm a big advocate of the medicinal marijuana because it's just, it puts you in such a great mood. First off, you're giggling like a Japanese schoolgirl at everything.
Yeah.
So your outlook's fantastic, but it also helps you manage body pain. And it's just people are on these psychotropic behavior altering medications with Zoloft and Prozac, and I go, why would you not just take a little piece of chocolate? Yeah. And I'm in a great mood, But that's.
You're very relaxed today, actually. I have to say.
Why is that?
I watched. I go back, I always watch our interviews if we have somebody in for the second time. And the last time you came in here, like spitting fire, man.
Well, I was, I'm just more relaxed.
His knees hurt.
My knees hurt. I was always angry and cranky because of my knees, and now I'm not.
Yeah.
Very relaxed, very mellow.
Yeah, so, it is weird when you hit that age when your first waking thought every moment or every morning is, ow.
Yeah.
Like, what hurts today?
Yeah.
What's on the list for today?
Well, let's move past old man maladies, shall we? Let's get into some...
Where's it hurt me? In my wallet it hurts me. In my...
Oh, yoy.
Yuck. Here's my question for you, Jimmy. And I've been thinking about this and what I wanted to talk to you about, because I think that you have a very interesting perspective on the world. I feel like you have an old school style of comedy, and I think that you are a very smart person who puts a lot of time and thought into what he says and why you think what you think. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In the climate of today's comedy, of everything that's going on right now, there's this PC culture, then there's, you know, comedy's changed a little bit, but then Netflix comes roaring back and puts out The Degenerates, and everybody's like digging the blue comedy again. It's interesting, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You finish your question, because I can't answer a question before you answer it.
That's true.
Before you ask
it. I would have let you.
Go ahead.
I would have let you try.
Go ahead. What was the question?
The question is, if you didn't have a career right now and you were just starting to come into comedy, where would you even start?
That's a good question. I mean, there's almost too many guys doing it now. It's funny because it's, you know, I get it. It's tough to start. Like, where would you even establish yourself? I'm lucky I'm established. I've been doing, you know, TV and movies, and I've been doing stand-up, and, I'm lucky. I look at, like, the generation of guys come and go, boy, it's got to be crazy because, it's like... It's like walking a minefield now, because is this going to piss people off? Is this going to piss people off? And, you know, that's really like your First Amendment right. You can say whatever you want, but it also comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility. But like the thing you're talking about, the PC culture, is they can't control how they feel about something. So they want to limit your ability to talk about it, which is wrong. It's that's what fascists do. You should be able to talk about it. Look, you're in a comedy club. People are joking. It's not going to, you know, you're taking something I say personally, and it has nothing to do with you. I mean, if you want to do that, then you should show up at the writing session and help me write the jokes.
Don't invite him.
Well, no, but I'm saying, someone said to me, she goes, it's peanut allergy. It's, you know, I go, why do you think I talk about it? I'm raising awareness about it. That people don't even think about that. Like, you get on a plane with a bag of peanuts, that there might be someone on that plane that has a peanut allergy. Right. I bring it because I'm calling awareness to it. I'm not, but I also have to make fun of it, because I'm a comedian. Right. So yeah, I'm bringing it up, but I'm also calling attention to it. It's like, I see the same stuff you see. Sure. I have to react to it the way I react to it. My react to it is to make fun of it. Because if I don't make fun of it, well then certainly I would snap, and I'd be the guy running through a cafeteria with a handgun shooting people. I have to be able to address these things. I see these things. They upset me as much as anybody. I'm a human being. I mean, you know, at some point, I mean, you know, they're going to start manufacturing guns with a U-barrel on it. So when you point a gun at somebody, the gun goes off and it kills the person using the gun, because it's just gotten ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't, I mean, they always kill like 12 people and then they kill themselves. I go, why don't you just kill yourself? Doesn't anybody just kill themselves anymore and leave a note? I have enough of this. I mean, kind of invert it. You know,
it's
kill yourself.
About like the narcissistic level. Of
Like death by narcisside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I mean, of all the iscides you could commit, fratricide, genocide, homicide, suicide seems to be the most civil and the easiest to clean up. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm having a bad day. Hey, we're all having a bad day, all right? You're the only one who showed up with a gun and a vest full of dynamite. You know, relax. We're all trying to get through it. It's tough. It's complicated. You know,
wear that stuff at home, sir.
Yeah, some people handle it better than others. That's all. I'm dodging bullets at the donut shop and trying to get a crawler and a cup of coffee, but you decided to shoot the place up, you lunatic. It seems like, I mean, never would I think in society today would that this stuff is happening more and more frequency, and it's ridiculous, and it's a mental illness problem. We have a mental illness problem in this country, and people are slipping through the cracks, and they're disguising it as a gun control problem. Look, I have a gun. My gun, I left it on my patio. It didn't shoot anybody. It didn't kill anybody.
You
I
left your back. Gun on your patio before you left for Rochester?
Yeah, so, and it's still there.
It's just
no
sitting out there.
Use it. Nobody, no, it didn't shoot anybody. It didn't. I mean, you know, the problem is we do have a mental illness problem in this country, and a lot of people are, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a psychiatrist, and every time there's a shooting, is what medication was he on? Because usually that's tied to, you know, you get these kids who are 11 and 12, they have ADHD or whatever, and they put them on these medications before their brains are formed, before they're even able to form full sentences, full...
Johnny's hyperactive.
Yeah, so they put them on these medications, and they alter their behavior. Sure. And a lot of these people, there's signs. These guys are... The kid and the sheriffs have been to that kid's house in Florida, like, 10 or 15 times. He was on the radar. I mean, you know, but what do? Do you lock the kid up? Do you 5150 and you put him in? I mean, I don't know, but it certainly beats the alternative of, like, you know, having somebody, you know, commit these crimes. It's ridiculous that we live in a society and we're really, like, I think the next big revolution in this country will be a spiritual revolution. I think people are going to start coming off social media. That I think it's, you know, human beings weren't meant to have a conduit where everybody could weigh in real time on everything you're talking about or doing at the exact moment that you're doing it. I mean, believe me, I did.
We're going to ask you to not stop streaming right now, folks.
Look, this is entertainment, but I'm saying it's like, you know, I did Last Comic Standing. People go on the message boards. They say horrible, horrible things.
But, Jimmy, yeah. I'm right. And people need to know that I'm right.
Yeah, well, I guess what? Rarely in my life have I seen conjecture turn into fact. And so that's an opinion. It's not fact. And you may be right in your world, but not. Yeah. I mean, we live in a country of 316 million people. There's a lot of people who have different needs than you do. And I don't know. Everybody has a knee-jerk reaction to everything. And a lot of the stuff, it's not even based on any kind of truth. It's just something somebody made up. So we don't even have news anymore. We have a bunch of people sitting around giving their opinions about stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not news to me. I wouldn't even hang out with these newscasters. I mean, you're wearing foundation and hairspray. I wouldn't even have a beer with you, let alone give a shit what you think about politics.
That's why I used to watch BBC News. I get it on my sling thing.
I read my news. But I actually got rid of my...
That's what I'm saying. Even BBC News, even the British are just as bad as us now.
Yeah, I got rid of my cable box. I don't even watch the news anymore. Yeah.
You said that. I was actually going to ask you that later. You got rid of the cable box and it didn't come back?
No, I don't care. I mean, I listen to music. I got stuff to do. I don't sit there and watch. You know, I mean, you go down the wormhole and you're, you know, I get a hotels and I have TV. So you can. Last night I was watching the Shark Tank marathon. How come those five?
That's harmless.
How come those five? Yeah, but that's how come they get to decide which junk the rest of us get to buy? You know.
Yeah, it's like, it's because the haves can make those decisions.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $25,000 and I want 15% of your company. It's like, you know, you got some decisions to make. Yeah. The guy was on there selling a lock. It wasn't a key lock, but it read your fingerprint. And they went, oh, this is the lock wouldn't open unless you put your fingerprint on, and it popped open. They went, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I go, not one of these billionaires asked, what if the guy has a bolt cutter?
Right.
What if he has a bolt cutter and doesn't even need to put your finger? What if he wants what's bad enough in your tool shed? He takes the bolt cutter, clips off your finger, puts it on a lock. Now you're laying there with a missing finger while your finger's squirming around.
I got my bike.
People rarely pick
steal my miter box, my leaf blower, my rake.
Yeah. You're just going to cut it off.
I can't use that lock anymore.
Because he took your finger. Yeah.
Not this damn, useless lock and no finger.
Useless lock and no finger. Damn you, Shark Tank. I feel like you make a very valid point there.
And for those reasons, I'm out. You know.
Thank you, good night. Yeah. I love that. That's hysterical. That show really is something else. Well, it's like one of the only shows I actually will watch if I see it.
Yeah, I just think all the stuff on TV is just junk. It's just, I like documentaries. I like, you know, like independent movies. Here you're guaranteed that I'll never go see a movie if you tie it in with a fast food restaurant. You know, like, hey, Burger King's got all the action. I'm not going to see that.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
They're not.
If you see promotional merchandise, you're not going.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm not going. I like, you know.
You didn't get one of those Phantom Thread Happy Meals when they were out last year?
No, I didn't get one of them Phantom Thread Happy Meals.
Oh, okay.
You haven't had any Grinch pancakes?
No, I haven't had any Grinch pancakes. Yeah, they can come here. Come and get some of the Grinch pancakes. Just get some diabetes.
Yeah, green pancakes. That's what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Jimmy.
Yes.
Where would you start? Where do you think you would start if you had to build it from scratch right now?
You know what I always tell people? I always tell young comics coming up. I say, you know what you should do? You should read the newspaper from cover to cover every day.
Yeah.
And then you can talk about anything, you know, usually from a well-informed point of view. But, I mean, that's what you do. I usually go to Drudge Report, and I scan the stories while I'm looking for stuff. Or if I see, like, you know, when I do watch the news, usually I'm in a hotel room. It's usually me yelling at the television, going, yeah, that's great. Let's all do that. You know, like, apparently these people down, those old ladies down on, in Florida could work 15 bingo cards at one time, but they can't figure out who to vote for down there. Apparently, they got this ballot situation. It's like, come on, really? Everybody else got it right except for you two counties. Like, everybody else in Florida is fine except for you two. It's like Democrats can't win an election based on what they're running on, but they can steal an election, which is what they're doing, and they're actually setting up to steal a 2020 kind of situation. Like, really? Everybody else counted their votes. It seems to be fine, except these two. Like these two West Palm Beach, and which are notoriously Democratic counties, it's like, yeah, oh, we found these in a rental car. Oh, really? Yeah, pull the other leg. It plays Jingle Bells. I think it's ridiculous. It's, you know.
Having lived in Florida, though, I do buy into that there's just a lot of idiots in Florida.
Well, there's lots of idiots.
Especially the people that get elected in Florida.
Well, there's a lot of idiots everywhere. I mean, in California, on the ballot was an amendment to repeal a gas tax, and they passed it. Like, these people must enjoy paying like $2 more a gallon than everybody else in the country, because it's ridiculous. It passed. They could repeal the gas tax, but they voted not to. That's how dumb they are. The great thing about democracy is everybody gets to vote. The worst thing about democracy is everybody gets to vote. I mean, people are out there having sex with chickens. Those people get to vote.
Solid point.
You know what I mean?
But let me ask you this question, though. Like, do you feel like, just in terms of stand-up, how important it is for you to talk about current events in your act?
Well, it is. It's important, but I don't touch politics. I won't go near it now.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking.
The problem is you're just going to divide the room right in half anyway. I mean, the job's already tough enough. You got to make a room full of strangers laugh. So then you got to... Now you've divided your room in half. You've made the job even tougher now.
You used to, though. You used to do political
stuff. Well, I used to, but the climate was different. It was a different climate. I mean, I just think people are just triggered over, like stupid stuff. I mean, I believe a lot of the news is ridiculous. A lot of it's fake news. I mean, I don't care what Don Lemon thinks. I think he's a moron. Anybody who watches CNN, I want to go, hey, CNN, can we have the N back, the one that stands for news? That way you guys can have the CN. You can same initials as the Cartoon Network. I mean, because like it's just like anybody. I like arguing politics with somebody who watches CNN. It's like arguing physics with a professor from Clown College. I mean, the information is...
Listen, I'm not going to judge Professor Bozo. That guy can make a pie fly 15 feet straight.
But I mean, really,
He knows something.
But they do it on the right. They do it on the left. Look, just give me the news. Don't think you're intelligent enough to break down and make your own opinions, so they want to tell you what you should... That's the problem. Everybody wants to tell you how to think and feel today. They want to tell you how to think and feel. Hey, do you mind if I have my own opinion? Is it okay that I have my own opinion? No, you should think like this. I mean, that's what Twitter is, and Facebook and Instagram. They're all internet ghettos designed to eradicate original thought or ideas.
Well, here's what I think. I think that the feeling, like if we're talking about society as a whole, the feeling of, you know, not liking someone because they don't share the same ideals of you has been there from day one. The fact is we just didn't know what everybody stood for until social media made us all push it out there.
But I have had great civil conversations with people who have different opposing points of view than I do.
Absolutely.
And it's a very civil conversation. I understand where you're coming from, but people want simple answers to complex problems. You go, well, why can't we just do this? Well, if you do that, then you create this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think about it like that. Well, yeah, but if you do it like this, I mean, you know, compromise has become such a dirty word in American society. Why can't we just take the best of both ideas and come up with a solution that works for everybody? I mean, like, you can't get into, like, people go, our immigration policy, you can't get into Canada if you have a DUI. You cannot go into Canada if you have a DUI. If you're a felon, you can't go to Canada. So why is it that you expect people to just march into our country? And it's like, no, come to the country by all means, but do it legally and do it in a way that works for everybody. I mean, it's like, you know, I get it. How come, like, in the whole conversation about immigration, no one's talking about the fact that the Mexican government is such a corrupt government? They won't even be able, it's not a poor country. They make lots of money, just never filters down to the people. So how come nobody's talking about the Mexican government? And the problem with Mexico is it'll never thrive because it's a corrupt government. And corrupt governments as a whole never thrive. It's not like a democracy. Canada has a plan. America has a plan. You know what Mexico's plan is? To let everybody into the United States. And the problem is that they don't have to worry about those people now. It's like a release valve
but
into the country.
Don't you think stuff like that, like the Mexican government, like when you talk about the Mexican government, and you know, you should know more about the Mexican government. It's like, I don't want to. It's just you get to a point where it's just like, I know there's so much information bombarding you every day that you're just like, I don't want to know.
And they basically send the money back to their families. But when they do that, they do it through Western Union. So the Mexican government all gets a piece of that money. They get a percentage of that money. So they don't want to stop it because they're making millions of dollars. Now, it's not good. Why else would you send your kids, they're 16 and 17, across 118 miles worth of desert, risking their lives at a chance at a better life? I get it.
I don't know.
But at the same time.
Sometimes I want to kick my kids out in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame his kids. I get it.
You would have think you would have done that.
They're bad kids.
Thoughts cross my mind.
But nobody talks about the fact that that's just one step on become a real world government. Become a real world government. Provide a decent living wage for your people that work there. I mean, you know, I think the trade deal that they just made will help. I think the trade deal that Trump just did, I think it's actually really great because those tariffs that were imposed on our goods coming out of our country were actually post-World War II, when a lot of those countries were developing countries, but they're not now. They're actually, you know, Canada, and we're doing fine. So let's make it even trade. That'll save our country billions of dollars, and it'll open up a whole bunch of new markets. I actually thought that was quite brilliant on Trump's part. I mean, I'm sorry if people hate Trump, but I actually thought that was a brilliant move.
Well, vote Schubert 2020.
No, I'm not going to run. Why would I run? That's what they say. Well, if you're not smart enough to get into politics or you don't want to get involved in politics, then you're destined to be governed by people that are dumber than you.
That's a very...
Who said that? Who said that?
Was that... hold on.
I do not know.
Destined to be...
It sounds familiar, but I have no idea.
Andrew Jackson.
Okay, I was wrong.
Maybe.
I was thinking it was a philosopher.
No, it was a political thing.
Okay. So can I ask that? Can we talk about comedy for a few minutes?
Yeah, let's talk about comedy for a few minutes.
What was your first joke you ever told on stage?
Oh, Jesus, man. I don't...
Come on.
I don't even remember.
Was it good or bad?
No, it was good. You know, I used to do magic, and I actually would... Like, I would go to... When I was younger, I would go to the magic store. I could buy one trick. My brother Bob played the drums. Joe played the guitar. And so my mom would drop them off for music lessons, and then we had an hour to kill. So I would go down to the magic store, and I could buy one trick, but I had to earn the money on my own. I had to deliver circulars, so I would buy one trick. But I always grabbed one joke book on the way out, like one of those old Robert Orban joke books. And my grandmother, she's a Reader's Digest, laughter is the best medicine. Yeah, yeah. And so I had a little joke file. Even as a kid, like 10, 11, I had underlined my jokes. And I was memorizing them and stuff like that. So I was like, really like the joke construction and joke formulas. I was very familiar with even as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of performance chops. I didn't have great writing chops. That didn't happen until later. And many years, like after I got into it, like probably 5 or 6 years in of doing stand-up every night, you just start to develop what works and what's funnier. So I would say, writing is like anybody who's doing stand-up should be writing. Like just writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And I really think you, in order to be successful in this industry, I think you have to live it, breathe it, eat it, and sleep it. Especially, I would go to bed thinking about it. I would wake up in the morning thinking about it. And so I knew this was the thing for me. It's funny because I actually started doing magic and about 5 or 6 years ago, went through like a midlife magic crisis. I got back into it just because I was in the hotel rooms for 8 hours a day. So I decided to work on a couple of things.
I've seen your up close magic, man. It's bonkers.
Yeah, so I started doing that. I just got passed at the Magic Castle a couple months ago as a magician member, which is cool. I'm very excited about it. That's pretty rare.
Because
I had to audition for like these 14 world-class magicians.
Do you get a patch for that? Or
no, you get a pin, a lapel pin that you wear into the club.
You get a wand.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you thinking?
No, you get a lapel pin so you can win. And as long as you're wearing your pin, you can perform in there. Like people are coming in and out of showrooms and they got these tables set up all over so you can start performing magic and stuff like that. And so, like, you know, and I know they're world-class guys, so I've been working on a little 15 to 18 minute show that I can go in and just do it there. So I'm always working in my hotel room. I'm always traveling with cards and coins and trying to work on some stuff, you know.
So check your watches and wallets.
Check your watches and wallets. I'm not going to wait a second.
Schubert! Oh, I got it. So you had a midlife crisis for magic?
It was just something I started doing. Like they always talk about
it's better than a Corvette.
No, but everybody has these unlived lives where you started doing something or like, you know, it was like a hobby or a thing or whether it was playing guitar and you go, huh, I wonder what would happen if I went that direction and not the direction I went. So there's this unlived life down there. You go, well, let me go back and revisit that. Let me go examine that. And I just haven't figured out how to, like I'm going to probably put together a show, like I think is great, like almost like a one-man show where you're doing, where you're taking your comedy skills and your magic skills and you bring them together. And not in a comedy club, because I think it's really tough to mix. I don't really cross the streams. But I think in a sense that we're like, you could do... like almost like a one man show where you did like, you know, like
theaters and
well, people are doing that now. But what a great way to kind of like, you know, go into like, you know, like I just enjoy it immensely. I enjoy performing it almost as much as I like doing stand up. So
I would be fascinated by your magic act, whatever you come up with, because you are so unstuffy the way I feel like most magicians are stuffy.
Oh yeah, no, it would definitely, yeah, because magic's like really a social art form,
right?
And some of the people doing it are so like unsocial.
Cards in my jacket. Yeah. Don't notice.
They stand in the basement and practice for hours and hours and hours, and then they perform it, and it's like you can't tell people. You know how long it took me to learn that trick? Because you're not supposed to know that you're doing all these secret moves and stuff. I love the diabolicalness of magic. That I look at the method that they do. So I go, that is so diabolical. But somebody thought of that hundreds and hundreds of years ago. There's no new tricks. There's just old tricks that people haven't even like thought to put together. But you know, I just love everything about it. I love, like, usually I'm reading a novel about called Carl Beats the Devil. It's about this is back when Harding was president.
Okay.
And so it's like, you know, it's about, you know, this guy named Carter who used to tour. But Thurston and those guys, Houdini, people don't even realize Houdini was like Elvis back in his day.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, he was like world renowned, and it was amazing. I mean, to think of, like, you know, people don't realize, oh, Houdini, but no, he was like bigger than big. Like, people don't. I mean, it's amazing. I'm just fascinated by it because it's history. I love the history of it. I love that it's like this, like the world's oldest art
There's
form.
Literally magic
the cups and balls has been around since early Greece. The pea and the shell game.
Yeah.
They used to, there's pictures, the like hieroglyphs of guys doing that on sidewalks and stuff. So that is what attracts me to it. And the more I learn about it, the more I love to learn about it. But it's applied psychology. It's misdirection.
Yeah,
it's sleight of hand. It's like all these. I mean, like, if stand-up's here, I think magic is like here because there's so much more going on aside from the presentation.
Well, they're both socially acceptable forms of lying.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess. Well, yeah, artistic license.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting there is, like, I think the mind of a comedian, people don't realize the only tricks that are going on in a comedian is in their mentally in their head. When you're doing magic, you're doing 5,000 things, and your fingers have to be in the right position while you're thinking what you're going to say. I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Yeah, but I enjoy that. That's the thing. And before you even present a trick, you probably have to work with it for like 2 and 3 months, like all subtleties, all the misdirection at the right times on the offbeats and everything. And then you get to present it and just fry people's brains. And that's what I really enjoy that. I go, that doesn't make any sense. And then the people will break out some holy water and a crucifix. The power of Christ compels you.
Sorcerer!
You're doing the devil's work.
They do that to you for other reasons.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. And plus, you know, I spend eight hours a day in a hotel room. It certainly keeps my mind busy, keeps my mind active. I love scripting magic as well. I love putting together the presentation. You know,
you gotta do that show. I would come watch that all day long.
Yeah, I'm working on it now. That's what I do during the day when I'm not doing media. Like, they got me working harder than Ugly Stripper. I've been doing media since 6 o'clock. I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Speaking of which, do you need a busty assistant?
No.
No, okay.
No,
sorry. Just thought I'd ask. You know. So
you keep trying.
So one of these days, somebody will like me at something. I had a really good time, by the way. The last time you were in town, I featured for you. I had a blast on those shows.
Yeah,
really,
it was
did.
Fun,
it was,
man.
Really,
yeah,
was fun.
I, you know, I worked with Greg Owen again last night. He had a great set. Really markedly improved, but I thought he did a great job last night. Yeah, we were having fun.
Yeah, I'm going to come try, you know, I'm gonna try
that
out.
Someone
tonight.
Did again. I don't want to talk out of school, but yeah, it was fun last night. We're having a good weekend.
What happened last night? You could talk about it.
No, it's just... this young girl was going on to do a guest set, but
in front of you?
Yeah, they did. She's a whatever, she was like 20, 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, her publicist comes in and says, can we get a picture for her social media? And she's going, publicist. I go, who's a publicist? I said, how? She's like 21. She's been doing, you know, like, what's publicist? I, you know, yeah. And it was just like, and then you saw the act. You go, someone should tell this girl, what you should do is you should work on the act first and get good, and then I would get a publicist and all this other stuff. And
sick burn. Yeah, you feel like people, I do feel like people
in this
business.
Note to self, fire publicist.
Yeah, no, right. I think cart before the horse here.
Yeah, well, that's the society we're living in. A lot of people put the social media cart before the horse. I think if you work hard on the act, all that stuff will fall into place. I mean, but you know, it takes people 4 years to get comfortable enough on stage. It takes you another 3 years on top of that to find your voice, your authentic voice. I mean, it's like a lot like being a stripper, except you don't undress physically, you undress mentally, and you let people see how you think and how you feel about stuff. And so it's like you're kind of, but you, it takes you that long to get just comfortable in front of people where you can be who you authentically are without any apologies, and also figure out a way to present your stuff. Because really, you start out as the funny guy at parties, and all your friends go, oh, you're funny, you should be doing stand-up. And then you almost come, and then you start doing your impression of a stand-up comedian, and you start trying, oh, this will be funny, I'll do this, because those will get a laugh. But they're not the right kind of laughs. The right kind of laughs, I mean, the best way I could put it is, like, stand-up comedy is like a funny way of being serious. You know, but to be who you authentically are, I mean, that's, so you're not really kind of doing a character. You just understand what makes you funny.
I've thought the thing that flipped in my mind where I thought I kind of figured it out was when you start writing a joke that's a really good joke, but you're like, not for me. It's a great joke, but it's not for me. You know, I don't have to
really
say that.
That's a interesting point, because I have a lot of those jokes that don't fit in my act, but they were funny.
Funny for somebody, but not out of my
face. Yeah, but I still keep track of those jokes, because sometimes if you see somebody doing something, I see another comedian go, that I like and I respect.
Yeah, exactly.
I go, you know, I was doing this joke, but it's not going to fit in my act, but you might want to try it. And, you know, like word plays, and you think, well, someone's had to think of that. Like I met this girl the other night, she said she was a social drinker. I didn't realize that. I realized that when I had to buy her 9 drinks, so she'll fuck me. You know, can we curse on this show?
All day.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but
every day.
No, we can't.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, I mean, it's a
You've
word
ruined
play.
It.
It's a word play, but it's definitely not going to make it into my act.
Right.
I've said it off stage. There's a lot of stuff like that won't done. You know, the act is, like, you work hard on the act, and it's just that joke's not going to make the cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just when
that's,
you get
that joke's in the practice squad.
You get that self-editing skill. That's when I think you really start.
I think that's really great.
Before you get on stage.
Yeah, because there's a lot of guys go, well, that joke kills. I go, yeah, but you're talking about corn and your fucking shit. I mean, that's not really, is that what you want? Do you want to work to the top of your intelligence, or do you want to talk, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get the right kind of material gets the right kind of laughs, the like really good laughs. But that's a great point, is like, just because it gets a laugh doesn't mean it should be in your act.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, so someone said, you know, work to the top of your intelligence, you know, which is great. But I mean, Carlin was one of those guys who I love and admire and respect so much, because he could do something as stupid as a booger joke, and he could do something really prolific, and then he'd do a shit joke and do something real blah. Not that you can't do him, but he was really kind of like,
he's like Neil Young.
Yeah, but he was
from the romance albums to the serious albums.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like he could do that, and not to mention his sheer volume of work, the fact that he kept writing, he's had 8 books, he had, you know, 14 HBO specials, 21 albums. I mean, he was just a content monster. And I don't think if you live to be 80, you'll ever see anybody put out that kind of content, because you constantly have to be working and writing and doing it. I mean, on top of, like, everything else you're doing is, like, you're acting, you're auditioning, you got to work on so many other things. You got to work on your website, you got to do your social media. I mean, now it really is a full-time job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's absolutely a full-time job now. It wasn't always like that, you know, but it's gone from, like, you know, look back to you could go back to 1972, there probably weren't hardly any comedy clubs. I mean, maybe there was the Purple, the Hungry Eye, the Improv, and the Comedy Store was 72. But, I mean, there weren't, like, clubs all over the place. There was a select few handful of clubs in the country, and now they're everywhere. I mean, you know, lots of guys would open for other bigger acts and singers and stuff, and that's how, you know, comedians would make their living. But now, I mean, you know, it's a full-time job. You can make your living touring from, you know, club to club to club, and, you know, it's fascinating. And podcasts like this have really kind of changed the industry. I mean, the Comedy Store now, every single room is sold out. I mean, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast has 20 million downloads a week. And
all hail to the king. He really is something else.
No, I was doing a show. Brian Regan talked about, because I just thought about doing jokes. Like, I didn't think much more beyond, like, standing up in front of people. And that would be enough. But, I mean, Joe does the UFC, does the podcast. And any one of those things would be great just to make a living doing
them. Who wouldn't want to be Joe Rogan? I mean, the guy just all the things he loves.
Well, he's an exception. But he's figured out a way to make a living doing
exactly,
and he's really good at all.
In a way, he just gets paid to exist, which is the dream. But he also works really hard.
Yeah, but that's how you. But that's it. A guy can do that. Never works a day in his life.
Yeah, just get paid to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, it's fascinating, but it's great. But you can do that now. I mean, that's the good side of social media, is that you have a direct access to your fan base. Like, you guys, you could probably get more people in your club based on this podcast than probably doing some of these other media outlets. But at the same time, it's like people are paying attention now. I don't even think like kids from the younger generation even watch television. They watch a lot of YouTube videos. They watch a lot of YouTube stuff. Yeah. So but you also have to figure out how to navigate it, because you have to be responsible for it. I mean, we also live in a society where you can get fired for a tweet. I mean, could you imagine going to McGill University and getting a master's degree in journalism and have to sit around and write all day about someone's tweets? I mean, that's got to be ridiculous.
Or sit around and write someone's tweets.
Or sit around and write someone's tweets.
that's a very popular entry-level writing job now.
I think a lot of that is make-believe. I really do. I talked to a friend of mine who does web stuff, and he said, well, some of these people have like 40 Twitter accounts, Jimmy. And they sit there and they peruse the Twitter feed and they look at something they get upset about and they attack you with all 40 Twitter accounts at the same time. And you think it's like 40 people. Oh, my God. And no, it's one guy operating 40 Twitter accounts. So it doesn't and all this fake outrage and all this hypocrisy. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on. There's a lot of, fake outrage. You know,
that's been going on since the dawn of comedy.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying it's really quite silly. I mean, we're supposed to be grown-ups here. We're supposed to be able to take a joke. People think they're brave because you hashtag something. You hashtagged it? Well, how brave of you. I mean, Jesus.
But I sat there in your cubicle
with your keyboard carriage, but hashtagged it?
I had to hit shift. I had to hit shift.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot.
Go out in the world and do something that really makes a difference. Go visit some old people in an old age home and sit there and talk to those people and visit with those people. Or go read Dr. Seuss' book, The Sick Kids in the Hospital. Go feed people that are homeless. Go see how lucky and gifted you are. And, because all this, people go, oh, well, you know what the real problem in this country is? White men. White men are there. I go, yeah, okay, we did some bad stuff, but we also did a lot of good stuff. You know, like the automobile, we invented that. Cell phone technology. You haven't read a history book. You don't know about the Khmer Rouge or Mao Zedong and the millions of people they murdered, or Joseph Stalin. How about what they do in Mexico?
Joseph Stalin,
the guys cut off the heads of 25 people and hang them on bridges to send a message to people, or the Middle East where they cut people's heads off if you don't convert to. I mean, it's. Like, if you say something like that to me, it lets me know how dumb you are. That you haven't read a history book. More than that, you've never been outside this country. Otherwise, you would appreciate and respect the country so much more than you do, because you don't know how people live in the real world. I mean, I travel all over the country, all over the world. I've been over this country 3 times, 4 times. Go to China, see how those folks live. Go see, what rights you have in this country. You think you got it so bad. I got so bad in this country. Yeah, go visit some other countries, then get back to me. I mean, it's really quite ridiculous. And this whole current feminism movement, the whole modern feminism movement, discounts decades and decades and decades of men who have sacrificed their physical beings, their soul-crushing jobs to provide housing and food for women and children. They completely discount that. Like, oh, really? It's just the way it is. It's ridiculous. We live in strange times.
We do. I feel like in a lot of ways, in terms of...
And I really wish I could talk about a lot of this stuff on stage.
Yeah. Well,
I wish I could say this.
I think you can, and that's the thing. I was just going to say, in terms of performing and stand-up, I feel like the lessons that we learned from guys like Lenny Bruce seem to have disappeared and went a different way. Because like Lenny Bruce would go on stage and he would make jokes and say words that would upset people. He'd get arrested, carted out of the place, end up in court over making jokes about blowjobs and sex and stuff like that. Ended up in court over it.
Yeah.
And the guy fought and ended up dying penniless with nothing.
He died for our sins so that we can do this.
So that we can do this. And a lot, exactly right.
You know.
And the fact that anybody wants to shut comics up for telling jokes, whether they agree with their point or not, I feel like is misguided.
It is misguided. I agree with you. It's misguided. And believe me, I would love to go on stage and be able to talk about whatever I want. But I also work in a corporate environment. I do a lot of clubs. And, you know, it's just, you just got to, I know it's going to pass. I know eventually we'll get back to doing it. So in the meantime, I'd like to be able to make a living and be able to pay my bills and feed, you know, my family and myself and do my stuff, but it also you have to like you okay this too shall pass and eventually be able to get back to it, but it's just people are so triggered now. I mean, look, on every level, not just in stand-up clubs, everywhere, almost. So you got to be able to kind of disarm, you got to defuse the bomb, and then you kind of like...
But you can agree it's both sides, though, right?
I agree it's both sides. I'm not saying it's one side or the other side. I just see a lot of it coming from... A little more of it coming from one side than the other, but also it does come from both sides. Look, it's just everybody, you know, we live in a really kind of narcissistic society now. Everybody wants, it's got to be done. It's the way I think and feel. It's like, hey, there's other people here too, you know. It's not just your world. We're all living in it. You know, you get and the fact that you can't go to a comedy, you're going to sit in a comedy club and try to take things personally. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's sister was in a club. She just mentioned something about cancer, and this drunk woman got up and attacked her on stage. She was talking about it. She goes, my friend's son has cancer. And went on stage like, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It was just, she didn't even make a joke about it. She was just mentioning it. I mean, that's how triggered people are. And that has nothing to do with politics. That's just something that somebody reacted to. You know,
triggering is kind of a new phenomenon, and it says a lot about the times because it's an accepted thing.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens to people.
No, it's not accepted.
It is accepted. Of course it's accepted, and that's the problem.
No, you're a fucking idiot if you're doing that. The fact is you can't even take you're taking yourself way too fucking seriously. So stay the fuck out of a comedy club. You're a fucking idiot. You take your IQ with a tire gauge. You think you don't know anything. You don't know fucking anything. Stay the fuck out.
I don't understand that, but I find it amusing.
Okay. No, look, you know what the best kind of intelligence to have? The best kind of intelligence to have, and rarely a lot of people don't have it, is emotional intelligence.
Agreed.
People say something to you, and you react. You let these words have power over you. That's how dumb you are. You can't even just go, well, that says more about you than it does about me. Sit back and smile at the human being. You know? But no, you got to react. You're going to fucking ruin everybody's night of entertainment because you're a fucking self-righteous cunt. Cunt! I said it!
There we go.
Jesus. I mean, really? You're going to ruin everybody else's fucking night of entertainment?
How's your knee feeling?
My knee's feeling great.
Jimmy Schubert, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just kidding. It's just so ridiculous now. Like you know, it's like everybody's a fucking, like Yelp, for instance. Everybody's a fucking food critic now. You know? And you forget there's a human being on the end of your Yelp review.
Yeah.
Guy's his dream since he was a kid was to run a Subway sandwich franchise.
But the soup was too cold.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
So, but, you know, you just happened to go in there to get a sandwich the day his favorite aunt died. So he forgot to throw the side of pickle in your bag. And you go back to your soul-sucking job in your cubicle and go, where's my pickle? Oh, that's it. He's going to get it from me. And he decided to destroy his dream of running a Subway sandwich franchise because he forgot your side of pickle, completely discounting the fact that your garbage disposal probably eats better than 40% of the people in the free world by all means.
You know what? This is going to sound like a really crazy thought, but I have to wonder, you know, did the thought of letting everybody have an opinion and being okay with everybody's opinion, was it good before everybody was allowed to express it?
No, in the old days, you would walk into a bar, you'd let your opinion be known, and someone would punch you in the face and say, your opinion has been duly noted. Now shut the fuck up and get out of here.
Yeah,
right.
And now you get to do it online and you don't have any repercussions of somebody punching you in the face. Like before, and not that,
yeah.
In the neighborhood I grew up in anyway, you know, you go in, but it's just like,
I don't think you're an adult till somebody's punched you in the face.
You gotta get
smacked once.
A couple times, actually.
Yeah, just to
make sure you got
just
right
to know what it's like, and then just to know that it's okay.
It's amazing. It's one of the only physical acts that can increase emotional IQ. It's amazing. It's just like
you know, like people can't just go, well, that's fine, and just like go about your business. Like, you know, if I'm watching something, I don't want to watch it. You know, I change the channel.
I'm going to make a strongly worded email.
If I'm listening to something, I don't want to hear it. I change the channel. I mean, if I'm not happy with a company because of a policy they did, I change the channel. Like, I vote with my wallet. I'm not going to support. Like, I get rid of my cable box because I'm not paying $180 for fucking television when there's nothing on. And more than that, I'm not letting these cable pundits dictate and tell you how to think and feel about stuff, and they do it on both sides of the ball. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm going to listen to music. I'm going to put myself in a good mood. It's just I make decisions that make me happy. I'm not like, you know, if I don't like the Subway sandwich, I'm not going to go back there and buy a sandwich.
Did something bad happen to you at a Subway?
No, I'm just saying. I was just putting on a basic.
Somebody get the guy a pickle already.
Somebody get the guy a pickle, for Christ's sakes. No, but I mean, it's like anything. It's like, you know, I go to places where I get good service. What I'm saying is, you don't have to go right. A Yelp review because you had a dry blueberry muffin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking muffin, for God's sakes. Toss it and get another one and go back and say, this one's a little dry. You got one that's a little
moist.
Let it go. I mean, exert yourself in the thing. I mean, lots of places, like, it's like guys going to you're a regular in a restaurant, instead of like talking to the owner of the restaurant, go, you know, I had this dish, I usually get it, but this time it tasted bland. It was horrible. Tell a chef. Tell a guy. You don't go online and fucking write a bad Yelp review on a guy's restaurant you go into all the time anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you, an idiot?
We've talked a lot about idiots today. I don't think you should be one. I think you should come see Jimmy Schubert this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson. Tickets on sale now. Carlson.comedy.com.
You should shut up, Schubert. Why is your opinion? I mean, I think we need to get back to being human beings again. And be able to, I think we, I, yeah. under, we need to get back
we
to being
can all
human
agree
beings.
On that.
I think you need to appreciate someone's point of view. You may not agree with it, but just, okay, I appreciate where you're coming from. Here's a great example. I was talking to a guy, and this is a great guy. I said, who are you voting for? And this was back, not the last election, one before that. He said, I'm voting for Barack Obama. I said, can you tell me why? He goes, well, because my grandfather died of Alzheimer's. My father had Alzheimer's, and chances are I'm probably going to get Alzheimer's, so I want them to do stem cell research and to find a cure for it. And to me, that made total sense. I said, that's the best explanation, because people vote on they vote emotionally for different things that may not be overall or this. Mm-hmm. But people, and I respect that guy's opinion, even though I wasn't voting that way myself, but I said, that makes sense to me. But I mean, you know, the thing is, we live in a culture now where it's, you can't even be a human being. You can't make a mistake today. You can't, let's say you fire off a tweet and you lost your job over a tweet. I mean, you made a mistake. Like, go forgive the person and move on. I mean, you can't even be a human being today. And that's why people, there's a lot of pressure on people I think that's why people are triggered lots of times, because it's gotten crazy.
Yeah, everybody expects perfection.
Yeah, and we're not perfect. We're so arrogant and far from perfect, it's not even funny.
And I'm on the opposite side of you politically, but I mean, that's why we lost, because everybody wanted perfection. And you don't vote for perfection.
Listen,
you vote for the closest you're going to get to.
Well, the other thing is, the reason people don't...
From your specific ideology.
Yeah, but the people don't get it. Like, the reason that a guy like Trump won it is because both the Republicans and the Democrats have been screwing over the middle class in this country for the last 30 years. It's been going on for 30 years, and there's been Republicans in charge, Democrats in charge, and nothing changes. I mean, the system is broken. People just, finally, what, more lies? Are you going to do that? Yeah, okay, pull the other leg. It plays jingle bells. People just got tired of being lied to. So what they did, Donald Trump was a Molotov cocktail bomb that these people lit and threw at the system to burn it to the fucking ground, because you've been fucking them over for years. People have lost houses. People have lost houses. This isn't the American dream. Healthcare is barely affordable for people. I mean, so...
I think that's a theory. I don't know how... I mean... It's weird, because there's a giant amount of people.
And
who
plus,
just...
Hillary Clinton was so fucking unlikable, she couldn't win a rigged election. It was rigged. What they did to Bernie Sanders was rigged.
Terrible. Agreed.
Yeah. So it's her turn. It's just her turn, people. So just vote. And look, everybody votes for different reasons. So it's not all good or all bad. This country will survive anybody they elect president.
The one thing we should remember, and I think if we get down to the heart of all of it and where it's coming from you, is that we are all just people.
Yeah.
Let's realize we're on the same... We're in the backseat of the same crazy cab ride.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, the
Uber. It's 2018.
But I was talking to Jimmy. Yeah.
Well, it's Uber. I take Lyft. But
you goddamn contrarian, you.
No, but it's, you know, I just think we need to be kinder to one another. I think we need to understand that people are upset about certain things. I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I feel this way about it, but that's fine. It's a civil discourse, because. You know, people are in this phone all the time, and they don't realize there's people on the other end of those things that you're saying online, sure. And the things you're jabbing at people. There's human beings that are, and you don't know what anybody's going through. You should be kind to people because you don't know. I mean, I had a guy, the reason I love doing what I do is because people get to come into my show, yeah. and you have the power to make them laugh, and for 45 minutes they forget about whatever terrible things are going on in their life, yeah. And you get to share some of this joy with the world, and you don't know how it affects people in such a positive way. That one guy came in from a funeral from his aunt, another guy was having a really tough time, was actually thinking about killing himself or something. You made him laugh, you made him forget all about that, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of power in that.
The bills were still there when the show was
over. But it's fine. But that's, listen, I mean, sometimes laughter is a good healing thing. I think people should stop taking yourself so seriously. Be kinder to people, because you don't know what the fuck they're going through. You don't know. You may be going through some shit. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to let it all. And because it's all, I don't even realize how much of it's true. Like, the things you go, oh, is that even factual? I mean, the stuff you read online, it's like, that's not even true. Sure. This story someone just shared without even researching it. In fact, no, it's bullshit. So just don't get triggered by information.
Sure.
Look, control make yourself happy. If you can't make yourself happy, and that doesn't come from something externally, it comes from going inside yourself and figuring out what you want. Do the big work up top. Figure out what you would do in life for free if money wasn't a deal, and then figure out how to make a living doing that. I mean, go, and really, you go fucking visit some old people at the old age home, or read to sick kids, or tell stories, and see how lucky and blessed you really are. If you got your health, if you got all 10 limbs working, go do something that really fucking matters.
Let's make a podcast at a comedy club.
And we'll be right back after these commercial messages.
No, I got to say this. I have to say this. Yeah. I want you to know a couple of things. I respect you very much. I think you are a very, very smart person. I respect where you come with things. And I know that when you say things, you definitely believe what you say. And that's something that not a lot of people do, where they actually take the time to put in that type of level of thoughts into their what they actually say, and I appreciate that about you. Don't always agree, but I think there is one thing we could totally agree on, and I want your thoughts on this before you go. It isn't going to end well for Zuckerberg, is it?
Oh, well, Facebook, you mean?
Yeah. I'm talking about Mark Zuckerberg in general.
Yeah, well,
You're up on current events, and you talk a lot about, you know, what social media has done to us.
Well, yeah, that's that number one, and really what people don't understand, you know, people get a computer and think, oh, I'm using my computer. No, you're on Facebook. And what Facebook is a data mining operation. Every single thing you post, all your personal information, it's all up for grabs. Mm-hmm. We've given up all our privacy, and we've been complicit in it because we think it's cool to be on Facebook and liking and arguing on Facebook. It's not. Mm-hmm. Get off Facebook. You want to be happy? Fuck it.
After the episode.
Yeah, after the episode. Yeah, of course, after you view
after
the episode.
Maybe after the next episode, too.
More people realizing that. they think it's cool, but it's not. You get every single thing you post, they gather. They have a dossier, all that stuff, Twitter, everything. The thing is, and so you have to use it responsibly. Like, I don't post anything. Like, it's just all surface shit. Here's my tour dates. Here's what's going on. Here's a picture of me doing something fun. That's it.
But you're even part of the machine that way.
I have to do it because if you don't, because you got these clubs going, well, how many Instagram followers does he have? I want to go, how many Instagram followers do you have, Chuckle Hut? You know? I mean, it's like, I'm the guy. It's like, you know, it's funny.
Listen,
I produce.
Do you know anybody at the Chuckle Hut? Can you help me get in?
Yeah, I can make a phone call for you. But you know what's funny? It's like, you know, I produced my own special, this hour special I got called Zero Tolerance. And here's the problem. Like, people, I'm trying to sell it, and they're looking at your social media profile. We're going, well, how many? Oh, so I have to write the hour. I have to produce the hour. And use my own money to do it, edit it, do all the post-production on it. And then I also have to go out and get, do you fuckers do anything? I mean, I had the Comedy Dynamics. Here's what a bunch of fucking cunts they are.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, here's what, yeah. I let them look at my special. They love the special. They said, great, is you just pay the $3,000. There's a thing called errors and omissions insurance that you have to, it's cost $3,000 for an hour special.
Yeah.
I said, so, okay. So I said, what are you offering? I said, oh, no, we're not offering you anything. You know, you just pay the errors and omissions insurance and we'll put it on our Roku channel. And
I said, well, thank you, Don Corleone.
I said, well, what do you think? I'm a fucking douchebag? I said, what, really? I mean, I'm sure you didn't do that with any of these other acts, but this is the offer you're giving me. And so I thought it was, I just think, and now I'm just going to self-release it on my spot because I own it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you create the content, you want to own it. But it's just ridiculous. I heard like six people said to me, and this is true, oh, man, we love it. It's great. We'd be able to sell it if you were a minority. I go, well, I'm not a minority. And did you watch the special? I think it's funny. It doesn't count that it's special. I mean, it's like, you know, I've heard that from six people. And it's like, okay. So what does that mean? I mean, what does it mean? I mean, did you like the special? Oh, we love the special. We just there's no interest because you know, I'm an old white guy or whatever the deal is. I mean,
let's be real. Dana Carvey had a Netflix special. What was it called? Straight White Male 60.
Yeah.
If there's a market.
No, I believe there's a market. It's just not a market that, you know, I'm just telling you what the feedback
I'm listening.
I got.
This is fascinating to
no,
me,
but
actually.
I'm going to self-release it anyway. I'm going to wait. It's over at All Things Comedy. I'm waiting to hear back from Netflix, and then I'm just going to, and if I get a no and a no, I will just release it on my website. So, but that's the world we live in now.
It's
you can do that.
Listen,
now.
Man, that's really probably, I mean, Netflix is a huge distributor, and we were talking about this before the show started about how there's just so much space that they have to fill. I'm shocked Netflix doesn't have this show on it.
Yeah, but
Christ's
no,
sake.
But yeah, but
we're not on Netflix.
Okay. We're not on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
This whole
time.
Be
honest with me. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen a lot of those specials on Netflix? I mean, you know, have you seen a lot? I mean, some of them I can't even get through the first 10 minutes. I mean, it's a comedy special.
But here's the thing.
I don't watch them unless I know the person.
Yeah,
because,
that's part of my point.
Because it infuriates me when I watch someone I don't know and isn't great, and it makes me mad.
When you watch somebody you don't know that isn't that great, they got a special.
Yeah,
it infuriates me. Because we're supposed to be like I'm all for giving everybody a special that actually is hilarious.
Yeah.
By all means, have at it. Because we live in a meritocracy. The people who it should be based on how funny you are and how good you are. And I think... You know, but that's not the new plan. So, anyway,
got to keep feeding the monster.
Come see Jimmy tonight and tomorrow. 4 shows, comedy at the Carlson. get your tickets, carlsoncomedy.com.
And I'm really not this angry. I was just playing.
He will yell at you a little bit.
Yeah, no,
just
he'll yell a lot,
bit.
But it's not going to be at you. It's a show.
But, yeah,
and he'll have a good time.
Don't bring up Subway.
5-4 comedy. Jimmy Schubert, thank you. We certainly know where you stand, my friend. And
thank you very much.
I respect you
well,
for it.
Well, look, you know.
Good luck.
Thank you.
On the show tonight. I'm going to come and watch. And,
awesome. Cool.
We're going to be back in a
minute. We'll have a couple cocktails. Talk politics.
Have yourself a Three Heads or an Iron Smoke whiskey. Try one of those later.
Oh.
Sneaking the sponsors in there. Chef Throwdown tonight in the Rickles Room.
Oh, that's right. The Chef Throwdown. I'm going to try some of that.
Yeah, hell yeah. Go see Chef Joe at Sapporo. You're going to lose your mind.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back with stand-up news, but here's a few messages before we get there. Thanks again, Jimmy Schubert.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the... Hey, folks, when stand-up news hits, Ross Johnson might pick up on it if he's paying attention. Most likely not.
If he's not busy that day.
If he's not busy that day, he'll find out what's going on in the news.
Absolutely.
Oh, hey, buddy. How are you, man?
It's a big news day, Vinny.
Is it a big news day?
Slobber knocker of a day.
Where'd you learn that expression?
I just heard that earlier.
For some reason, I don't think that's the first time you've
by
heard
God,
it.
Vinny.
Oh, well, it means something different in my community.
Hey-o!
Is it going to be a slobber knocker of a day?
It's going to be a slobber knocker of a day.
Gross. But, all right.
Sounds sexy.
Yep. Coming up next.
Very moist.
News later on.
You are moist today.
So Tracy Morgan had a rough couple of years there. We all know.
Yeah.
But he's got a hit show on TNT now, The Last OG, and he just got the Brooklyn native just received the keys to Brooklyn from the Brooklyn town city council, whatever that is.
How long before he actually tries to use it on people's homes?
Well, that's this was just a couple days ago.
Are they rustic and artisanal looking?
It's like a giant.
It's right there on the screen.
Yeah, I don't know that you could actually like open a door with it unless it's a very large door.
I'm happy for him.
But it was on his 50th birthday. I guess he's done a ton in the Brooklyn community. He's done stuff to like rehab playgrounds and stuff like that. Awesome. So it wasn't just for being a
got
funny
everybody
guy.
Pregnant.
Which got everyone pregnant. Ross. Mm-hmm.
Can I say, it's funny that you brought up Tracy Morgan this week, and that's all I'm going to say.
What an odd coinkydink.
What an odd coincidence that Tracy Morgan's name was being batted around here again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I know.
All right.
Next story.
Oh, okay.
What else you got, Ross?
So I don't know if you guys caught this. I just thought this was interesting. I would bring this up. The Netflix, The Degenerate Show, includes Mr. Brad Williams, who regular viewers of the podcast and
close
attendees at the Carlson might recognize. He's
and
been on
Big
the show.
Big J. Okerson, a former guest.
Big J. Okerson, yep. So it's got. So this is a new show on Netflix, just debuted, and the theme is sort of like non-PC sort of comedian.
We call people. That blue in the business.
Blue, yeah, slightly blue, but it's. I think the thing is, it's not just blue. It's like. Blue and also
black and
like,
blue.
Yeah, it's like black and blue. So they had Big J. Okerson, Brad Williams, Yemenika Saunders, Lisa Traeger, and Joey Diaz, and Christina P. So I haven't watched the whole thing. I watched a little of it, but it was sort of like they were like jokes about dating trans people, and Brad Williams is a midget, and somebody has a vagina. So it was that kind of thing. So
it's a good show.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the news story?
That's all. It just came on. I'm just telling you. Brad Williams is on a show.
We talked about it on the last episode.
When he was here last week,
we talked about it.
I know. I'm just saying it came out. It wasn't out before.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, you should. You don't watch the show when you're not on.
Do you remember this whole thing I was teasing you about the research at the beginning of this, folks?
Yeah. 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 Perhaps you should watch the show.
I know you talked about it from Brad Williams. I'm just saying it's
but it was out.
But, well, I didn't realize that.
Okay.
Listen.
The Joey Diaz episode is
Do you want
marvelous.
To do the news? I don't know. Come on. Can we
well,
pretend
I would
here?
Like you
Can we
to
have some pretend
news.
Time?
Uncle Joey's a guy.
Go ahead. What else
All
you
right.
Got,
well,
pal?
Tracy Morgan was in an accident.
Another one?
No.
What?
No, it was the same one. I just don't have anything current.
Callback.
Callback.
All right.
So Amanda Seales from HBO's Insecure,
yes.
who you may well know. Mm-hmm. She's got her first stand-up special coming to HBO.
About time.
I guess HBO is still doing stand-up specials because everything is usually Netflix these days. But
why not? Showtime's still doing them.
Yeah. Are they really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See? Look at this. I'm learning from
it's
you.
It's amazing who's doing them.
Yeah.
Crackle. Whatever that is.
CISO.
So CISO doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
Do you guys feel like there's more, I mean, with especially with Netflix doing a lot of stuff, do you guys feel like there's more more stand-up on TV, more venues for stand-up on TV? Do you feel like it's made kind of a comeback?
I think that's a great question. And let me tell you my answer on that. Very simple. With all these streaming services being separate from broadcast television, with broadcast television is doing what broadcast television has always done. I don't think anything's really changed much there. Comedy Central still produces all their specials. Like we just said, HBO and Showtime still produce theirs. But now you have streaming services that have to dump content into them every week.
Yeah.
They have to dump buckets full of content.
And it's cheap content to produce.
And it's super cheap content to produce. I think that stand-up is going to be more prevalent in the streaming world than it's going to be on television.
Yeah.
And I think it already is. Mm. But I just think it's like a bottomless pit of material and a bottomless pit of content.
And a bottomless pit of sadness.
That you could drop your bucket into.
Because we still don't have one.
Do you think there's a, do you think there's an appetite for it, or do you think it's just like you said, it's cheap?
Yeah, well, no, I think there is.
When there's a place like this that exists in Rochester, New York, that sells, you know, has five shows a weekend and sells 300 tickets.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd say there's a market for comedy.
Well, live stand-up. I just mean like on TV.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
And I think with streaming, it's the multitask thing. Like that's what I do. Like I'll be working and having a streaming thing playing, and stand-up is awesome for that because I put on somebody's stand-up special, and I work. You know, and I'm writing in another window and listening to it, and it's good for that.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, I like
it. I think it's built for modern society.
Well, I think they're going to be calling you guys any day now.
Monorail.
I'm gonna disagree. What else you got?
Okay, so finally, just wrapping it up. So Amanda Seale's comedy special, I Be Knowing, HBO. There you go. Finally, of course, last week the well ran a little dry. This one's it's not sad. But it's not
happy?
Hilarious. Well, it's
nothing he does makes me sad.
Yeah, well,
he ate a puppy.
He is wow. This week the Cat Williams music, he's accused of refusing to pay up on years old tax bills. He's been slapped with a lien by the Georgia Department of Revenue. Over unpaid taxes from 2015 and 2016.
The GDR.
The lien claims he owns $308,045.85 in back taxes the last. It doesn't seem bad for Cat Williams, right?
He might be able to pay the $45.
Is it
bucks.
In income or property?
This is just says unpaid taxes. So I think income. But it would have been, so that includes $29,000 in interest, $42,000 for penalties, and $39,000 in collection fees. And if he doesn't pay up quick, they're going to start taking his stuff, according to the
what
state
I don't
Georgia,
understand so. Here is these collection fees. $39,000. Are they sending people to collect in limos? Are they sending people over services to come get the money from the guy?
And I don't get charged.
Let's not pretend it's not some idiot in a call center going, "Excuse me, Mr. Williams, you have a tax bill."
That costs $1,000, that phone call. I don't understand like the when they charge you interest on something you didn't know about.
Sure.
Like charge me interest the day you call me and tell me about it. Absolutely. But don't charge me when I didn't know.
Do you think he didn't know about taxes?
Well, like a minor little thing, you know. if you have a minor tax infraction and you owe $40 and owe $80 in interest for the last 5 years, know about it.
That's fair.
If I was Cat Williams' lawyer, I would argue that he didn't know about it, and I would argue that he doesn't know about a lot of things, like where he is most of the time.
What do you think the odds are that they're going to start repossessing his stuff and he's going to be asleep in a cupboard?
He's going to wake up in the back of a moving van. Just, let me out of here.
I'm sorry, I cracked myself
what
up.
What if we got
that?
This all wrong? What if all this trouble he's been in, it's them trying to let him know about his tax bill and he freaks out and it goes terribly awry?
Oh, yeah.
Every time he
runs into the food land.
Yeah. Excuse me, please pay your tax bill, Mr. Williams. And he runs into the food emporium.
Could be.
This time it was a Trader Joe's. So he's behind the quinoa.
You can't take this cupboard. I sleep in here.
That's not how he talks.
I know, but I just...
You know, the best joke, did you see the cold open of Saturday Night Live last week with Kate McKinnon playing Jeff Sessions?
I did.
She goes, I still have the box I was born in. She laughed really hard. It made me think of Cat Williams because he's so short.
So tiny.
Like, I don't know. We should stop making fun of Cat Williams.
No.
It's not about
no,
making
we shouldn't.
Fun of... You know, he's
we're celebrating his life.
We're celebrating the joys that he brought to us all. Folks, that has been the comedy at the Carlson Cast this week. May I stop and say thank you to my co-host, Brian Ball. I am thankful for you.
Oh, I'm mostly thankful for you, Vinny.
Well, thanks, pal. Cam, I am definitely thankful for you.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're a great
dude.
Yes.
We appreciate you. Ross.
Cam is the only one here without sin.
He really is. He's just a sweet, sweet, sweet person. And then there's Ross, who is just an asshole.
And wet.
And wet. Ross, very we lost. Love you. Happy
love
Thanksgiving,
you
buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanksgiving. Go
happy
towel
Thanksgiving.
Off.
Hope to see you at Jimmy Schubert this weekend.
Out.
Get your tickets 585 for comedy, carlsoncomedy.com. And also make sure to subscribe on whatever you're listening to this on. See you next week with Robert Kelly. Later, Marks.